Okay, let's get into our topic for today. This is going to be very different. I've never preached a sermon that's not from the Bible. And don't fear, you Bible lovers, this is not a trend. We're not going to be preaching, you know, Oprah's new book or something like that. I want to share with you a friend from church history who has had a huge impact on my life. And it's amazing to me. I know I would have discovered him eventually, but it's interesting that I discovered him completely by accident. When I was a young believer, I was scouring this used bookstore in Pasadena, California, and I came across this little old book. And I was just getting into reading theology and church history and that sort of thing, and I started to get this taste for old books. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You like the musty old smell and the yellowed old pages. And I saw this book, and its title is The Practice of the Presence of God. And I thought, that's really a curious title. And so I bought the book, and I started reading it. And I mentioned this week on Facebook that this book has had, besides the Bible, this book has had more influence on my Christian life than any other book. Probably because it's so short. You can read this book in a couple of hours. There's no pictures, I will warn you, but it's really small and there's lots of space in the margins. So what I want to do as part of our series on discovering the presence of God in our lives for comfort, for encouragement, for joy, for mission, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus said, for example, in John 14, 15, and 16, he said that I am going away from you. He told his disciples he would be crucified the next day. He said, I'm leaving you, but I will come back to you. He's coming back physically at the end of the age, but he said, I will come and make my home with you. And that was the promise he gave, and we see that throughout the New Testament, that God promises to be with us. Hence the title of this series. We came up with this concept of TVs and receivers because the first message we did was on how God's signal is everywhere. From Psalm 139, it talks about God, there's no place you can go that God is not. He's everywhere. And so God, like a TV or a radio signal, radio waves are flooding this room right now. We just don't see them. And the same thing with God's presence. His presence fills this room. We just don't see it or sense it. So the question is, how do we tap into it? Well, it's pretty hard to get a TV signal if you don't have a TV. But if you do have a TV, then God is broadcasting. What channel? I want to find that channel, and we talked with that imagery. We talked about how easy it is to turn to other channels because they're sexier and more exciting right now than God's channel. Well, Brother Lawrence, this guy who wrote The Practice of the Presence of God, had tuned into God's channel, and he stayed there for the rest of his life. And so I want to share. You'll notice that the worship folder this morning has only Brother Lawrence quotes in it. And I want you to open this up, if you would, the worship guide that you got. I'm going to share a little background about Brother Lawrence. Maybe this is why I like him. He was a simple guy. He had no education. He was born in 1611 in Lorraine, France. His original name was Nicholas Herman. He had been a soldier in the 30 Years' War and then a personal valet to a rich guy. He had met Jesus when he was 18. It's interesting, he said that he, and the way this book is written, the first section is called, is four conversations, but it's written from a friend who's interviewing him. And the friend says that, that's why you'll see some of the quotes in the worship guide are direct quotes from him and some are about him. But Brother Lawrence said that he became a Christian at 18. It was the dead of winter, and he saw in the snowy winter of Europe, he saw a tree bare of its leaves. We don't really get that in Mexico City. We didn't get it in California either, but where I'm from in Canada, the trees look dead in the winter. It's dreary. It's cold. It looks like nothing will come back to life ever. And he saw one of these trees stripped of its leaves, and he realized that within a few months, leaves would sprout, the flowers and the blossoms and the fruit would come back. And he said immediately he said God did this singular favor of him, and he realized that this was God's doing. And he said he received that day a high view of what's called the providence of God. Providence of God is a reference to God working all things according to the counsel of his will. Everything that takes place in the world is according to God's providence. Nothing happens apart from God's sovereign, kingly control. And Brother Lawrence saw this tree and realized that God would bring new life to it again in the spring. And he realized that moment that God was real. And he became a follower of the Lord from that day on. Later on, he begged entrance into a monastery. He wanted to become a monk. He wasn't educated, so they welcomed him into what they call a discalced Carmelite monastery. Discalced means barefoot. And they still have barefoot Carmelite monks to this day. And he was finally welcomed into the monastery as a lay brother because he had no training. And he became the chief cook. He became in charge of the kitchen. That's the background you need. And let's just jump into the first quote here. This comes from page 5 of his book. The first quote we have: "We should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him." Let me back up before I get to that. Let me give you two verses. Let me give you one verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing," or "pray continually." How many of you have heard that verse before? Pray without ceasing, pray continually. How many of you have said, that's not possible? Honest people. How do I pray continually? I mean, sometimes I have to focus on my work. Sometimes I'm in a conversation with somebody. I can't pray all the time. Maybe if I'm a pastor or a monk or something, I could pray all the time. But I can't pray all the time with my business and travel and communications. I have struggled with 1 Thessalonians 5:17 for years. When I discovered Brother Lawrence, I found what I think is the best answer to that objection. Because Brother Lawrence, his whole thing was this: pray always. Always converse with God. Have a continual conversation with God. And so this is the first quote here. He says, "We should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him," by continually conversing or talking with him. Let me share another quote related to that. He said that his prayer was nothing else but a sense of the presence of God. Sounds horribly simplistic, doesn't it? This is the thing I like about Brother Lawrence. He was horribly simplistic, overly so. The writer, the interviewer, said he was a great awkward fellow. He didn't walk right. He'd been injured in the 30 Years' War. And he didn't like business. He wasn't good at business. They said, on one occasion it says he was sent to the city to buy the stock of wine for the monastery. And wine didn't come in nice little bottles back then. It came in big barrels. And he talked about how much he didn't want to go do business like that. But he was a simple guy. And so in his simplicity, Brother Lawrence said, I want to be in your presence, Lord. Your Bible promises that you are with us. I want to sense that. Let's go to the next quote. "In order to form a habit of conversing or talking with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must first apply to him with some diligence." Does that make sense? Let me read that part again. "In order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must at first apply to him with some diligence." In other words, it takes some work. "But that after a little care, we should find his love inwardly excite us to it without any difficulty." Let me go to the next little paragraph or the next little section. more than just conversation with God. Lawrence said that we also need to watch attentively over all our passions, is the answer to that. All of our passions. And by passions, he means our appetites, our desires. Doesn't mean passion like telenovelas. He means passions, our desires, our appetites, our drives. So he starts by saying, look, it has to be a habit that you're forming. It's a habit that you form, talking to God continually. Talking to God continually. At the same time, there's a holiness aspect to it, that you can't go out and be living a crazy life, or be cheating people in business, or ruining your marriage and think, oh, I'm drawing close to God on a daily basis and having a constant conversation with Him. So there's the presence of God aspect, there's the relational aspect, but there's the holiness aspect too, that you should be pursuing purity. Next quote, one way to recollect the mind easily. So what do we do when our mind wanders? Because Lawrence's mind wandered too, just like yours and mine. So he says, one way to recollect or bring back the mind easily in the time of prayer and preserve it more in tranquility is not to let it wander too far at other times. You get that? You get that? Don't miss that. You should keep it strictly in the presence of God. And being accustomed to think of Him often, you will find it easy to keep your mind calm in the time of prayer, or at least recall it from its wanderings. You see, what you're doing is you're building a habit of prayer. And Lawrence admitted that this is hard at first. In fact, let me read to you from another page. He said, at other times I beheld Him in my heart as my Father, as my God. I worshipped Him the most that I could, keeping my mind in His holy presence and recalling it as often as I found it wandered from Him. I found no small pain in this exercise. In other words, it was hard. And yet I continued in it, notwithstanding all the difficulties that occurred, without troubling or disquieting myself when my mind had wandered involuntarily. So he says, look, I'm just like you. My mind wandered easily, and then I called it back. He said that the will is the mistress or the queen of all of your being. And he said you have to use your will to bring your feelings and emotions and attention back to God. But he said it was hard to start, but you had to start. I always love this, always works. It's the same thing with the analogy of going to the gym. December is bearing down on us, and after December comes what? January. What do people do in January? Make New Year's resolutions, and what's the most common resolution when you're older than 25? I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to join a gym. Man, 24-hour fitness loves January 1st. Because people hand over their credit card and it gets charged every month. And nobody wants to cancel their gym thing, because that's admitting that you're giving up. It's hard to go to the gym if you haven't been there in 3 months. Do you get excited about going to the gym if you haven't been there in 3 months? No. Because you don't look good, you don't feel good, everything's going to be hard. Your body has gotten used to eating at McDonald's and sitting in a couch and relaxing, and your body says, don't do it, stay here with me. But once you get into a habit of exercise, some of you are playing sports, you're on sports teams in school right now, there's a thing that happens to you. The more exercise you do, like, I don't know if it's endorphins or what those are, but your body just feels good all the time, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good? And the thought of going to the gym or doing some exercise this afternoon would be like, yeah, that sounds good. And your body's like, let's do that. I think it's the same thing with prayer. I think that's what Brother Lawrence was saying. Look, if you don't pray, starting to pray sounds hard and weird. I feel like I'm just talking to nobody. That's why you have to couple it with Bible reading. Open your Bible, read it, let God speak to you through the Bible, and then pray in response to that. But the thing you need to keep in mind is, and some of you are like, I have no idea how to pray. There is no way to pray. That's like saying I have no idea how to talk. Yes, you do. You just did. Same thing with prayer. Prayer is just talking to God. That's all there is to it. Don't let the word prayer scare you. Brother Lawrence was a big, great, awkward fellow who was uneducated and very simple. And what's interesting is this simple guy who was uneducated, no theology degree, wasn't a pastor, professor, or priest, or anything like that, his book has been published a bazillion times since the 1600s. I love how God does that. I think God sovereignly does that kind of thing. This overly simple dude just talks about, I just talk to God all the time. That's my theology. And people are like, wait, let me write that down. We're going to make a book out of that. Okay. So if you don't know how to pray, don't call it praying. Just call it talking. Just talk to God. And what somebody might ask is, look, Brother Lawrence prayed all the time, but what do you pray all the time? I mean, I got a list of things I ask God for. You know, I need a new job. I need more money. My aunt needs to be healthy. My kids need to get back on track. My marriage. And then I'm done. 5 minutes. 5 minutes would be a long time for me. How does he pray all the time? Because prayer is not just asking God for stuff. For Brother Lawrence, the primary aspect of prayer was just relating to God. Think of it as a relationship. If you're hanging out with your friend, you're not, the only time you talk to them is not when you want stuff from them. It's just you're talking. So what does it look like? It looks like worship. Worship is the key for Brother Lawrence. And Tim Keller, in his book, Counterfeit Gods, talks about how worship really is at the bottom of the Christian faith, in the sense of it's our groundwork. Worship is what holiness comes out of. Worship is what changed lives come out of. And so for Brother Lawrence, it was just worship. So it can just look like you're driving to work and you're saying, I love you, Lord. Lord, please reveal yourself more to me today. Please show me what to pray for. Just start talking to him. So what Lawrence was saying is that the more you pray, the more you will want to pray. And the longer time between your prayers, the harder it is to get back into praying. I call it, don't take this wrong, I call it crack prayer. I don't mean crack like the white powdery substance. I mean, in the cracks of your life, every time you get a quiet moment, pray. Even if you're walking from one room to another, just say, I love you, Lord. Lord, I know you're here. Please show me your presence more. Next quote, he says, by rising after my falls, and that's when he falls into sin or whatever, he says, and by frequently renewed acts of faith and love, I have come to a state where it would be, listen to this, where it would be as difficult for me not to think of God as it was at first to accustom myself to it. What do you think about that quote? Brother Lawrence blowing smoke or what? What do you think about that quote? Anybody in here go, Brother Lawrence, I have no idea how you got there. Think about that. What he's saying is, as much effort as it took in the beginning to get myself into the presence of God, it would take that kind of effort now to get out of the presence of God. That's such a huge encouragement to me. I'm not there yet. I'm not sure how he got there. But I love that concept. I love it. Look, besides reading the Bible for your own Christian faith, one of the best things you can do is read Christian biographies. Read church history. See what people before us did and how they lived and how they followed the Lord. It's hugely encouraging. Hugely encouraging. And Brother Lawrence is one of these examples for me that tells me if this simple guy 300 years ago could do this, I want to pursue that. I want the presence of God the way Brother Lawrence had it. Okay, let's shift to the next section, the great joy of the presence of God. And by the way, I want you to know, Next week, we're going to do a message on Thanksgiving, since we're celebrating Thanksgiving that Sunday. And then the following week, we'll finish up this series with one more round of quotes from Brother Lawrence. And one of the things I want to hit is the idea of praying at work and how that happens, and his view on that. But next quote, bottom of the page at the middle. When outward business diverted him a little from the thought of God, a fresh remembrance coming from God filled his soul, and so inflamed and transported him that it was difficult for him to contain himself. Difficult for him to contain himself. 1 Peter 1:8 was written to a group of Christians who were struggling hugely. They were being persecuted as Christians. And Peter says to them, even though you're suffering, he says, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Or joy unspeakable, other versions say. Think about that. Don't let those words pass you up. You rejoice with joy inexpressible. What is something that's inexpressible? What is that? That means it's so huge, it's hard to communicate it. Right? The joy, in other words, the joy is so potent, so amazing, so overwhelming in their hearts that it's hard for them to communicate it properly because the words wouldn't do it justice. See that? And what Brother Lawrence is saying, that when he would be diverted from his attention to God, and he would come back, and God would send a fresh remembrance to him and bring him back, and the experience was so great, it inflamed his heart and transported him into the throne room of God in such a way that it was hard for him not to go, woohoo! Because it was so amazing. Isaiah 26:3 says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or set on the Lord. And Psalm 36:8 talks about drinking from the river of God's delights. I love that. Next quote. So Brother Lawrence says, and I make it my business to persevere in his holy presence, where I keep myself by simple attention. This is probably he unpacks what it looks like. Where I keep myself by simple attention and a general fond regard to God, which I may call an actual presence of God, or to speak better, a habitual, silent and secret conversation of the soul with God, which often causes in me joys and raptures inwardly, and sometimes also outwardly, so great that I am forced to use means to moderate them. You can tell he was Northern European. And prevent their appearance to others. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He's saying that by establishing this habit of constantly talking to God, God's presence became so real to him that he knew by that experience that God was with him, and it so excited his soul that he had to guard it, he had to keep it in, that he didn't freak out. I've always said, why do we get more excited about our football team than we do about our Savior? Nobody ever has to tell you to get excited when your team gets a touchdown. Hey, come on, come on. We scored. But we have to be told to get excited about God, about worshiping God, about His presence. And Brother Lawrence was so inwardly animated with God's joy in His presence that he had to guard it. He didn't want to look like a freak by being so excited about the presence of the Lord. Finally, last quote here. There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Do you believe that? Only those who practice and experience it can comprehend it. Yet I do not advise you to do it from that motive. It is not pleasure which we should seek in this exercise, but let us do it from a principle of love and because God would want us to. So what he's saying is, seek God, not the pleasure that God gives. You agree with that? There's a little bit of debate about that. And I can't be 100% sure what Brother Lawrence is saying, which one he's saying. But if you're familiar with pastor and author John Piper, he talks about pursuing God, yes, for God's glory, but not being totally ignorant of the pleasure that comes from that. That's why he calls himself a Christian hedonist. You know what a hedonist is? A hedonist is someone who lives for their own pleasure. And Piper said, I'm a Christian hedonist who lives for the pleasure that God gives, that the presence of God gives in their life. So here's what I think Brother Lawrence is saying. And if he's not, he should be. That's a joke. There's a difference between selfish and selfless intent. And I think that's what Brother Lawrence is getting at. Look, Brother Lawrence, throughout this book, talks about the pleasure of God's presence. We just read it in the previous quote. He was so excited about God, he had to hold it in so he didn't look like a freak and get locked up. So he's obviously getting pleasure from God's presence. But what he's saying is selfish versus selfless intent. He's not going to God so God can give him pleasure. He's going to God for God's own sake, for God's own glory. Let me put up the next slide if we could. It's the difference between intent and result. His intent is to give God glory. And so he goes, he empties himself of his own self-concern, own self-focus. For him, he wanted God to be all. Imagine that for a second. That's really hard. Really hard, because from the moment we can desire stuff as a little baby, it's all about us. If you're a parent, you know that for your kid, it's all about your kid. From the time they're little itty-bitty babies. That's why God makes them so cute. Because if adults acted the way one-year-olds acted, we would think they were jerks. Selfish, they're all about them, all they care about. They'll steal other people's food, other people's toys, completely inconsiderate. So from the minute we're born, we are 100% about ourselves. The goal of the Christian life is to become 100% about Christ, not about ourselves. Because at some point we wake up and go, this thing about being all about myself really sucks. It's not producing anything good. I'm bored. I'm unhappy, I'm empty. And that's why the Christian life is about pursuing God for his sake. And that's what Brother Lawrence went for. For him, it was all about doing even small things for the love of God. It's all about God. And it's all about God whether I receive anything back from that or not. You see what I'm saying? That's what self-sacrifice is. I go to God, I make him all, I lift him up above all things and worship him as constantly as I can. And whether he rewards me in some way, shape, or form or not does not matter, because I'm about God. See that? But what he's saying is the result of it was pleasure. He actually expected... I'll share more about this next time, because I'm going to talk about suffering and work. His view on suffering was very in-depth. And he actually expected, when he came into the monastery, that God should make him suffer at some point. He thought that he should, and that's part of the Christian life too, and I'll talk about that next time. He said that God should make him to smart for his faults. And that's sort of like Hebrews 12, talking about being chastised, disciplined by the Lord. But he said he, in the years that he had been there, which was decades by that point, he'd received nothing but pleasure from the Lord. Here's something interesting. You ever heard of Hudson Taylor? How many of you ever heard of Hudson Taylor? That's a crime. That's a sheer crime. Go find a book about Hudson Taylor. Download it to your Kindle. Hudson Taylor was one of the first radical missionaries from England to go to China. He was one of the first guys to go overseas cross-culturally and go native, so to speak. He dressed and looked and did his hair and everything like the Chinese back in the mid-1800s. Nobody was doing that. And he went and lived amongst the Chinese rather than in an imperial compound, in a British compound. He went and lived amongst them. And so he was revered for this, and it transformed missions and how we do cross-cultural missions. He was revered for this, and he sacrificed and gave up a lot. Even before he went to England, he went to live in a poor neighborhood. My favorite Hudson Taylor quote is, he says, "I never sacrificed." Everybody knows you sacrificed, Hudson. What are you talking about? Your life was an example of sacrifice. But Hudson Taylor's point was that he received so much back from God in God's presence in his life that he never saw it as a sacrifice, what he gave up. And I think Brother Lawrence would have said amen to that. Didn't see it as sacrifice to make God all, because the more he poured himself out to God, the more God poured out pleasure and joy and filled him. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you would take the example of guys like Brother Lawrence, Hudson Taylor, Paul the Apostle for that matter, or Peter, or John, that we would see the examples of Christians who've gone before us and see what's possible, see that we could know you in a way that we've never known you, that we could experience joy we've never experienced, that by starting a constant conversation with you, we could really understand your presence and feel it in a real way in our lives. I pray for anybody in the room who's never started that conversation with you, that they would, Lord. They would not be intimidated or frightened or scared, that they would step out and begin to just talk to you simply. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.